When we're confused, where should we go? Where should we turn when we really need answers? Where should we hide when we're afraid? Well, in this world, there's a lot of places we can turn to, but the only place that is truly safe for us is the Word of God. When we turn to it, we find that it always tells us the truth. But more than that, the Word of God is able to go inside of us and make us men and women who can overcome the very things that confused us, perplexed us, and terrified us. It can make us new creations.
There was something being built through the suffering that I couldn't see. I wouldn't see it for some time or even understand it. And it felt like everything outwardly was just decaying and rotting away. But inwardly, through the Word of God, He was building His life into me.
In today's episode, Kathy Gallagher talks about the incredible power of the Word of God and why hurting wives should cherish it as if it's their very life. That's what's coming up. Here we go. All right, so we're back with episode 8 in the Hope for Hurting Wives series with Kathy Gallagher. Kathy, the co-founder of Pure Life and the author of When a Secret Sin Breaks Your Heart. Thank you so much for coming in.
And I'm happy to be here.
All right, so we've just got two more episodes in this series, and we're going to be dealing with chapter 7 in your book in this episode. And one thing that you have done all throughout this series, you have been passionately talking about the need for wives to be in the Word of God for themselves in a real meaningful way, you know, not just here and there, a verse a day kind of thing, but really devouring the Word of God. Yeah. And you actually devoted a whole chapter to that topic in your book. So that's what I want to cover today. When you think about these wives, they're going through an incredibly difficult situation. What is the real burden that's on your heart? Like, in terms of when you're so adamant that they spend time in the Word of God, where is that coming from for you?
Experience and my own incredible lack. In the early days, I did not have what I needed spiritually, but through trial and tremendous pain, I really started turning to the Lord and His Word, and it became life to me. I couldn't just rely on what I had been taught or messages I may have heard. That was not going to do it for the crisis. And I started to just get into the Bible, and I was searching for answers to my messed up life and marriage, but what I ended up finding was my Redeemer. Even though I was saved, I think the combination of just needing something and the brokenness that I was going through and the Holy Spirit working in me really opened up the Scriptures to me and created such a hunger in me. So I just started, I started off just reading the Bible, but it was like I needed more as time went on. And so then I started, like, I didn't want to just read the Bible. I wanted to know it more. I wanted to study it. And this is back in those days, this is early 80s. There wasn't, you know, I wasn't on the internet. There was no internet. And I wasn't watching TV, so I wasn't familiar with Bible teachers and stuff. I had a clean slate, but I started to find ways to study the Bible, and what I ended up with was inductive Bible study. I don't even know that it was called that back then. And man, my eyes were so opened to riches that you can't get at just a cursory read. I mean, there are times when I just read the Bible and the Holy Spirit is speaking to me, and I am not making light of reading the Bible because it is very important. In fact, people should be reading through the whole Bible regularly. But studying it for myself really, it prepared me in so many ways to go through what I was going through, to help me go through what I was going through, to see things differently than I was seeing them without the influence of God's word in my life. It just, it was reframing me. It was changing me. It was redirecting the way I was seeing life. And it didn't happen overnight. It took time. It just took quite a bit of time. But I knew there was treasure there. So I was hunting.
Yeah. And one thing you said there was, I don't remember exactly how you said it, but basically it helped you to see the crisis in a way that you couldn't have seen it without the influence of the Word of God.
Yeah.
And even more so today, when you have access to all of these voices, right? Like social media and the internet. Right. And especially if you just go searching the internet for answers, you're going to have 1,000 voices that potentially, and I think most of them, the vast majority, are going to be lying to you.
Yeah. I thank the Lord. I never really stopped to think about this, but I am so grateful that I got into the Word before there was an internet, because once you're in that world, it is really hard to disengage yourself from the voices that are out there and the, what do you call it, the buffet of options that you have. And you can decide if you want some of what God is saying in His Word, and you can disregard what you don't want, because you've got a psychotherapist over here telling you things that maybe your flesh want to hear, but just completely contradicts what the Word of God is teaching us. My whole approach is, when I came to Christ, I came in, and I really came in. I didn't have one foot in the world and one foot. I mean, I had to grow up. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I was anything. I was nothing. But when I came in, I came in, and I didn't look to the world anymore. And I feel like that's what so many people are just like, it's almost like they can't help it, because if they're on the internet, especially a brokenhearted wife, you are looking for immediate relief. You want it now and you need it. Yeah, you want it right now. And there are so many people that have gone through this without the Word of God being their anchor. Their anchor has been what has helped me emotionally, what has helped me feel better about things. The whole idea that I can divorce this jerk and move on and find somebody else. There's just so much out there that's being pushed out in the church. And so my whole deal is, if you are not grounded in the Word of God, if it is not forming you and shaping you and changing you from being in and of the world to being in and of Christ, you're going to be confused and very, very disappointed.
Yeah, I'd like to maybe delve a little bit more into your own personal testimony, because what I basically hear you saying is that you were a type of person when everything broke out, mm-hmm. you know, like you reacted in a certain way, you responded, you dealt with it in a certain way, mm-hmm. then you start getting into the Word of God, mm-hmm. and you are actually changing. It's not necessarily that your circumstances were changing, but you were changing because mm-hmm. of that connection that you were having to God through the Word. So could you, I don't know, if you looked back at the person that you were mm-hmm. when it all came out, mm-hmm. and then look 3 years down the line and what change. Could you contrast those two people?
Oh, yeah. Should be fairly easy. Well, I was very, very young when everything came out. I was 20, and I was off the chain with emotion. Every emotion known to man came flowing out of me regularly and unabated. I was such a wreck emotionally, and I just... Yeah, I was so out of control. I did things, so ashamed of the things I did to try and rescue my marriage, try and get my husband to love me. I was just angry. I was appeasing. I would go from one extreme to the other. I would do anything he wanted me to do, and then I would hate him for doing it or making me do it. I was just such a wreck. And I got to the place I separated from Steve. I had to get out of it because I couldn't handle who I was. I didn't like who I was becoming. There was so much trauma in my life. And Steve is just going through life doing what he does. He's unaffected by what's happening. He doesn't even know, to be honest with you. He was clueless about what was happening to me. But I finally left him. And I was so devastated inside. But that is when I really decided, I need the Lord. But that was coming from a baby. I was a baby Christian. But I just somehow, I don't even know how I knew this, except it was the Holy Spirit drawing me to get myself into the Word of God. And as I was reading it, there were just things. I still have the Bible I was using back then. And I occasionally will read through the things I wrote. And what I see written down in there is a young girl who had, I was very needy. But I was seeing things in the Bible, and I would write notes out on the margin about what Jesus was like. And he was revealing himself to me in his word. And it was very, very rich and meaningful. And it was just creating something in me that I needed that I didn't have. And I just kept finding him. I don't know how else to express that. I just kept finding him in. He was like no person I had ever known before. His love was like no love I had ever known before. And I was just I fell in love with him. I fell in love with his word. And it just grew and grew and grew. And it just became, I look back now, I didn't know this at the time. I didn't know anything at the time. But I see now he was building something in me through all that devastation. It was like something, what was happening on the outward was not reflecting what was going on inside. There was something being built through the suffering that I couldn't see. I wouldn't see it for some time or even understand it. And it felt like everything outwardly was just decaying and rotting away. But inwardly, God was building something in me that has never left. And I'm so grateful for it. And it's just, I believe, through the brokenness, through all the suffering, but through the Word of God, he was building his life into me.
What were some of those things, again, looking back, you know, as you've been in the Word of God regularly for like a number of years, what were some of the things that were being deposited?
I don't know if I can like carve out a thing. Mm-hmm. It was a person that was being revealed. Even when I would read the Old Testament, which I didn't do a lot of because I felt like the Old Testament wasn't making sense to what I was reading in the New Testament.
Sure.
But I knew they belonged together, but I didn't know how to make them go together. I loved being in the Psalms because the Psalms could express things I was going through and felt, some of them. Mm-hmm. So I loved that. I loved Proverbs. Proverbs made a lot of sense to me when I was a young person. It's like, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. It was things like that, things that Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross. I grappled with that. I didn't know what he meant, but I wanted it, whatever that actually meant in real life. The Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. I was so attracted to that. I was attracted to that, but I didn't understand what it was that I was reading. But I knew I wanted to know more. I wanted to know him. And so I would read the Sermon on the Mount and was clueless, but it lifed me. Mm. But I didn't know what I was reading, you know? And I think it's kind of like that for most believers. I remember when I got saved, I had read the Bible, read through the Bible, read some parts of the Bible a little bit, and I'm like, whatever, clueless. When I got saved, it was alive to me. I carried my Bible everywhere I went. I did not set that Bible down. It was like part of me. And it was just, at that point, just a book. And I would read things, but it was living. It was so alive to me. So then over the next few years, that living thing kind of got a hold of me in my own baby sort of way. It really took a hold of me. So
yeah, I think that's really important because, like, I think we want to know, how does it work? What's the Bible? Like, what good is it going to do for me to be reading, meditating, studying? But that's something that's really powerful about the Word, right? Yeah, it works in ways that we don't really understand. It's not just information.
Yeah.
There's a when the Spirit is there and our hearts are open, there's a power in the Word of God to actually go inside of us and change us. And like you were saying, we might not even see those changes for years.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely certain that if our hearts are open and we're in the Word of God and the Spirit is there, it's doing something inside of
us. It so is. And it's living and it's active and it's able to discern the thoughts of and intents of the heart. That is such a powerful, powerful truth that people need to get a hold of. Men and women need to get a hold of that. God knows how to get into the innermost heart of you. And sometimes we don't even know it. But that's like when he gets in and he starts dividing and parsing things out and separating things about us. And he starts exposing us in his word. And it's such a life-giving thing. It's not like something you should be afraid of. It's something you should welcome and invite the Lord to do. Because, you know, if you want to be one with him, you got to let him have his way, and he does it so much through his word.
Hmm. Yeah, and I do think it's important, like you said earlier, that I don't completely understand it myself, but there is definitely, sermons have their place,
mm-hmm.
And podcasts have their place, but it should never be a replacement for our own life.
Right.
Reading and studying the Word of God. Like, if we're just allowing someone else to do all of the work for us, it's very shallow.
It doesn't have the same effect. I mean, at the end of my life, if there was one thing that my life meant, it was that the things I said and the life I lived left behind a fragrance of Christ that made somebody else hungry. Because I don't think there's words I can say that are going to transform a heart. All I can do is point you to the one that does. And I can share my testimony, which is a very biblical admonition, almost command, you know, that we share our testimony and give to others what we've been given. But you have to read the word and know it for yourself. And you test the spirits, test the preaching, test the teaching. Because if you're not, you will be led astray. Because I promise there is a lot of deception out there about the Word of God.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, and you mentioned this in the chapter. You referenced Psalm 19:7, which says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." And you already talked about the restoration of the soul, like how you just got into it and God was doing something inside of you. But that other part, making wise the simple, is really about, like, God is the only, his word is the only thing that can actually make us wise. Without his wisdom, we don't have trustworthy answers to our problems.
Yeah, we are. A lot of people, when they read the Bible, that's pretty much what they're doing, is they're reading the Bible. And one of the things that we have taught at Pure Life, that I have taught at Pure Life to our staff, is one of our issues is we read with our eyes, but not with our brain. So there's something missing there. You have to really engage your heart and your mind in Bible reading, and also getting out of the laziness of just letting someone else teach you, because it's easier mm-hmm. to listen to a preacher. It's easier to listen to a teacher. And there's nothing wrong with it. But I do think that there is danger in that. That's why we are teaching our staff regularly at Pure Life how to get into the Word for themselves, giving them ways to study and know the Bible for themselves. Because if you don't know it for yourself, then you're open to anything. And the other issue I have is people who take a verse and hang their life on a verse, or they're a verse a day sort of Christians. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a life verse. I'm not saying it's wrong to have verses that are special to you or anything like that. But what is behind the verse? Getting a better, fuller understanding of what is being said in the Word of God. It is so I can't say it strong enough that if you would really invest yourself in studying, finding a method of study that works for you, I recommend inductive. It's an excellent place to start. You can look it up. You can Google it. There's all kinds of ways to study inductively, but it's a starting point. And to educate yourself a little bit more instead of just relying on preachers and teachers, because your relationship was with the Lord, you know, and it just would be so much more valuable to you as a believer to know what he says for yourself and read it in its context. You don't take a verse out of the middle of Philippians 2 and build a case on that, or build a sermon on that, or build a talk on that. You can't. That's not the way it works. Anyway, it's a whole other podcast to talk about how to study the Bible, but it's a big deal.
Sure. Yeah, and actually for any women who are interested, we did a whole podcast series called A Firm Foundation, mm-hmm. and it was all about that,
yeah.
how to study the Word of God and what it looks like to kind of mine out its treasures. Mm-hmm. It was aimed at men, but I think it would still be valuable
for
anybody. I just want to end this way, Kathy. You said that one of the things that has grieved you a lot over the years is you've seen people who, it's not that they outrightly mock the Word of God or attack the Word of God, but they don't hold it, they don't have very much value for it, right? It's like they don't treasure it, they don't go to it as like a source of real life. It's just sort of one avenue for advice or help alongside a lot of other ones. There's psychological help, there's self-help, there's podcasts, there's, you know, motivational speakers. It's like, here's the Word of God, and then there's a lot of other things that are kind of alongside of it. And I mean, it's definitely possible that there are people who are listening where that's where they're at. You know, they don't treasure and esteem and hold the Word of God in really high value. What do you feel like a woman like that needs to hear?
Well, I've counseled women like that before, and it's there's a lot of confusion because there's a lot of voices, and none that they have found to be so reliable that they would hang their hat on it, including the Word of God. That, to me, calls into question. There's no easy way to say it. I question, what kind of a relationship do you have with the Lord if you don't revere and fear his name and his word? And I guess it kind of is an expose on where you really are, maybe, with the Lord, that you don't have a reverence for him, that you can go to worldly-minded teachers, preachers. They can be worldly-minded. Psychotherapies, whatever. If you're open to all of that, then you're really not engaged with the source of life. And, you know, I don't even know what to say to that other than you won't find any help from the Lord in that, because it's not that the Lord is like offended or put out or, okay, so you're not going to do it my way, then do it your own way. The Lord isn't in that spirit. The real issue is what you're saying about him. And you have, on your own, cut yourself off by going to Egypt for answers going into the world for answers and disappointed with God because he's not what you want him to be. It's like the whole relationship needs help. It's, yeah, there's something really wrong with that thinking, because I know that as a believer, when I was a young woman especially, I was definitely in the Word of God, and there was one or two, one book in particular I can think that I read one chapter out of that was not the Bible. And there was a little bit of wisdom in it, but it was not life to me. And none of that stuff is going to be life to you. And so I'm going to circle back and question your relationship with the Lord, because his word is life. And it's able to change who you are, the way you think, even the way that you process your suffering. It is able to do that. But you have to love him. You have to love his word. And you have to trust him, or you'll go to Egypt for answers.
Yeah, and I think that we all have to learn not to go to Egypt, because that's where our sinful nature always wants to go. It's where our flesh is just, yep, it's pulling us in that direction. And when our lives are just in chaos, you know, and a wreck, I think we can deduce from that, this, however I've been doing life, has not worked.
Right.
You know, and I've got to learn a totally different way of doing life. And that starting point, or a great starting point, is to just say, okay, Lord, yes, I repent.
Yeah.
And I'm going to devote myself to your word. Teach me to put it in the place where it deserves, yeah, in my heart and mind.
Yeah.
Help me. And
help me to turn away from Egypt and to turn to your word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nate.
All right, that's it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us again on the Pure Life Ministries podcast. Next week, Kathy Gallagher will join me once again for the final episode in the Hope for Hurting Wives series. God bless. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Landon, and I'm the customer service representative here at Pure Life. Since 1986, Pure Life Ministries has been ministering to Christian men and women whose lives have been destroyed by sexual sin. If you'd like more information about our counseling programs or teaching resources, or if you'd like to check out some videos of men and women whose lives have been radically transformed, just go to purelifeministries.org. Thank you for listening.